I am here to talk about our mainstream internship program that we are running. It's on a high level concept, it's a really amazing program that I'm really enjoying working with. So let me tell you a bit about it. It's built for students in their last 2 years of study on a level 7 paper or above, or someone who's graduated in the last 12 months. It's an initiative dedicated to supporting diverse and disabled students. It's about gaining meaningful, supportive, and empowering employment. We've taken over the management and delivery of the program, Propel, and it works on a really a bespoke and personal level. So we meet with every student. We ask about their strengths, we ask about their challenges, and from there we put together a program around support. That support could be coaching around confidence. That support could be conversations around disclosure with the potential internship. It could be around reasonable accommodations. It could be around how they feel and a little bit of pastoral care around their worries and concerns. But equally important is we work with the employer. So when we partner an intern with an employer, we offer training and support to the employer as well. So we offer support in accommodations if necessary with the employer. We offer training and support for the line manager around meaningful ways to communicate, manage, and support the intern. We give them bespoke training in whatever barrier or challenge or disability the intern may have, be it neurodiversity, be it a disability, be it a health condition. It's really about the individual rather than a generic piece. It's been exciting to talk to so many interns, to hear their stories, to hear their challenges. They're very similar often. It's been really personally rewarding seeing the change with the confidence and the faith going forward. Often they say to me that we just need a foot in the door. We just need to be able to prove ourselves, which is slightly sad, but this program actually gives that in a real-world application. The employer feedback's been equally good. They're really welcoming the training that they get. They're really welcoming the three-tier partnership between the intern, Propel, and their organisation. And it seems to be going. The model seems to be really successful because all parties are getting pretty much what they want. So I'm happy to answer any questions around that either now or at the end, but that's just an overview of what the program purpose and delivery is.
Cool, thanks, Joe. So, and I probably should have introduced Propel, which is powered by Workbridge. It's one of our subsidiary partner organisations, and Stu works for that, and they are the team that's delivering the mainstream internships. They were formerly run by B Labs, who did an awesome job. But most of the internships that were delivered under the B Lab model tended to be in Auckland, which is great. But we're actually hoping to spread the love about a little bit more. So there's universities and tertiary organisations all over the countryside, and we're trying to line up internships for those people and other centres with meaningful opportunities to, as Stu says, get their foot in the door and actually get a bit of real world experience, come away with a great reference, and in some cases become part of the team. Stu, with you, what's the duration of the internships, because I don't think we talked about that.
Okay. So the internships can run from 4 to 12 weeks, any single organization is allowed to have three interns at any one time. As Phil was touching on, the minimum that everyone gets from this is some great talent, well supported for the 12 weeks. Most internships are 12 weeks. However, it is something that my team and I are passionate about, is if possible, keeping that relationship and keeping that employment going. It's not the purpose of the internships, but for those 4 to 12 weeks, are really a chance to shine.
Now, Stu, is it a paid internship or is it what?
That's the best news. So it's fully funded and fully paid. And by paid, I'm not talking about living wage or minimum wage. It's paid like for like. So if the role was paid $40 an hour, then the intern would be on approximately $35 an hour. It's not about cheap labor. It's about outstanding talent who are paid and really well supported.
Great. Cool. Okay. Well, maybe Sarah, we can open up the floor to any questions to any of us, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Sure. Surprisingly, I've got a couple of questions, so I'll kind of get the ball rolling. Thank you very much, team. That's great. And I'm sure if there's questions that haven't fallen out today, then we'll obviously have your details available for people to connect with. So I guess a couple of things I'm kind of curious about is kind of general wait times if someone was to register, and I know that may vary from region to region. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? I know that there's that 1 year kind of cutoff point in terms of the job search, but in terms of actually getting in to see a case manager and then taking things from there.
It very much varies region to region to region. So we are funded to be a certain size by MSD, and that sets the capacity that we have to accommodate staff, to actually accommodate folks coming through. Bree, is there any sort of wait in Northern right at the moment? Do you know of?
No, so with the northern region, which is from, I guess, Harbour Bridge, West Auckland up to Kaitaia, we contact someone within 48 hours to organise their first initial chat with us. And then based on that conversation, we go from there. So it should, they should get a phone call within that first 48 hours, and then maybe the next week or two they'll have an appointment.
And it's actually worth pointing out that that is the approach right across the country, whether that branch is full or not. So we always get back to people, or should be always getting back to people, within a couple of business days. And if we are slammed, which sometimes happens, we do try to make sure that the person goes away with something. And sometimes that is some guidance and advice about how to maximize their preparation, if you like, before they enter the service.
Okay, so I've had a couple of clients, and granted it wasn't in the last month or so, but I think earlier on in the year, maybe the end of last year, where I think in the South Island they were told that the waiting list was so much that the books were closed at the moment. Is that accurate, or would that have potentially not been accurate?
That may very well have been the case.
Right.
Canterbury, I think, was completely slammed for a very short period of time.
Okay, but
But
that's now potentially changed.
yeah.
Okay, great. All right.
Sorry,
Awesome.
just to touch on that as well. If we are a region that has, is at capacity for whatever reason, we will make sure, we should be making sure that we're having that conversation with any referral sent to us. And as Phil mentioned, we'll make sure they've got a plan in place to have something that they're still keeping that motivation, because we would hate to be any contribution or reason as to why someone lost their motivation. So whether that was referring them to another program or voluntary services or something like that, that's our ideal situation, but they should be leaving with information around that.
And if that were the case, would the onus be on the client to reach back out to Workbridge at a certain time, or once the waitlist goes down, are they then re-engaged directly by Workbridge? How does that work?
I'll just think of, for my situation, I would, it depends on the conversation that's had. If there's a plan that's set in place and you know, it's like, okay, why don't you try this for the next 3 months and then I'll contact you again then, or if it's something that's not set in stone, I might get them to call me. It really depends on that conversation that we've had with them, but I would normally put a reminder in my calendar to reach out to them, unless there was circumstances that meant that there was no set date or time that would work for them.
Okay, great. Another question I've got is around, so sometimes I get inquiries from people who are maybe here on a spousal, on a partner's visa or something like that. So can you just talk into a little bit more into eligibility, if there was anything we didn't miss, we didn't cover?
I can touch on that. So it would be a New Zealand citizen or permanent resident.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we are limited to that.
Sure. Okay.
We've got a chat question from Tanya. I'll just read it out. It's David speaking. Would I be able to approach Workbridge even if I receive ACC workers' compensation? I've been out of work since 2015 when I received a traumatic brain injury, which provided me with low vision, only discovered last year when my licence was removed. ACC is in the process of sending me for an initial occupation assessment. So the question is, can I approach Workbridge even if I receive ACC workers' comp?
Unfortunately, not. So we aren't funded to work with people that are in receipt of ACC. So it would be a MSD main benefit. Sorry about that one.
My understanding is, and I'm not an expert at all, but that ACC have their own employment support program. Is that correct, I think? So that's probably why, ACC, you can't get it if you're on ACC. I think that's my understanding.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
So whichever provider you're currently working with, they should be able to support that employment outcome. Normally, once the assessment process has actually occurred.
Right, okay. Have we got any other questions here, David?
Yes, I think another one may have come in on the chat. Just let me find that. Natalia says thank you. And also, besides the letter saying I was being referred, they haven't given me information. So it sounds like we have to go back to ACC.
Yeah, a bit of a follow-up. Sorry, Tanya, probably with your case manager there at ACC. Good luck with that. Another question from me, in terms of, be really interested just to understand a little bit of the scope and depth of the different placements. So, you know, I think Workbridge has been around for a very long time, and it's probably gone through kind of like peaks and troughs in terms of what it's delivered and how it's done. But just be interested to know, the extent to where you're placing people. You know, obviously not everybody's going to have a tertiary qualification, and not everybody is going to be wanting to work in, industry or corporate. Some people will be much happier doing quite manual or menial types of work. So can you maybe give us a little bit of an idea of different types of placements that you've secured, and maybe even some of the organisations that you've got particularly good relationships with?
Right, so we place from one end of the employment spectrum right through to the other. So that's from unskilled jobs through to white collar jobs, and the types of jobs and employment relationships we have tend to reflect what is available, if you like, within the area that the particular branch is. So for example, Wellington, we place quite a few people into council and government white collar jobs in the provinces. We place people into industries and roles that align with what's actually available within those employment markets. In terms of employers that we work with, we've got really good relationships with obviously local councils, supermarket chains, some of the hardware chains, roading contractors in places like Palmerston North, various logistics outfits, both front and back office, some of the agricultural support, some of the agricultural support sort of businesses, and it would take a long time to actually rattle them off. So just by way of an example, we placed just under 1,200 people last year, and to do that, we have about 5,000 active employer relationships from one end of New Zealand to the other. So that really does run the gamut every sort of industry sector that you can kind of think of. Having said that, most of the people who tend to need our service tend to be in the food service and lower skilled end of the market, because that is the skill that they have, and that drives the majority of our employer relationships, reflecting the needs of the needs and talents of the people that we work with, which kind of makes sense when you think about it. The mainstream internship program, by contrast, tends to operate at the other end of the spectrum, because we're working with really only professional, highly qualified people who are looking for obviously opportunities into well-paid white-collar positions.
Hopefully with the internship, Phil, that may well in fact open up opportunities for those more professional type scenarios to become more of more available, not just as internships,
yep,
but as part of your wider kind of like employer network.
Maybe I could talk to that. That is exactly what we're working with. We have some, for the internship program, obviously we have a pool of really talented, we've got doctorates, we've got masters, we've got degrees of all shapes and colours. So we're having to be quite bespoke, but we've got people who have a master's degree in genetics, so we're having to go to places like Ag Research, Invermay. So we're building really robust, strong relationships with quite specialists, but also we've got Local Government New Zealand, we've got Chambers of Commerce, we've got Spark, we've got Air New Zealand, we've got contacts with some really big entities, because we bring value to them to finding some outstanding talent. Big picture and talking sort of outside the box, Propel is by nature possibly developing into also a sort of a recruitment system. And then we have interns coming in who are highly qualified, who don't meet our criteria for this internship program, but are interested in being supported into employment, support with disclosure, support with accommodation, support with any challenges and worries that they may feel. So it is developing, and it's really interesting where we're going.
I think
Right.
probably the main thing is one of the things that we're pretty hot on, and it's the same with actually just about any organisation that works in this sector, is breaking down the attitudinal barriers to employment. And often that comes from the employers, and in particular the people on the shop floor, having just been a bit scared, not actually knowing or being worried about doing the wrong thing. So we're hoping that in time, by exposing people to the benefits of employment workforce diversity, that we overcome these barriers. And by working at the problem from, I guess, both ends, in time, we should see some change within the market.
David speaking. Thank you, Phil. A question from Dan. How is the internship program reaching internship candidates?
So, good question. So we have relationships with the disability offices and the careers offices, DIS and DSS offices for all of the universities and polytechs. So we're directly working with the universities to support their students who meet the criteria into our program. But we've also had a really successful and comprehensive social media campaign on lots of different platforms. And primarily that was for graduates who had left tertiary education, who may not have the links back to universities. But word of mouth also is now kicking in. So that's probably, probably a three-tier thing. Social media campaign, direct relationships with the universities and polytechs, and now a little bit of word of mouth.
So you said if they've already graduated, how long, what's the maximum amount of time that they can apply after graduating?
12 months.
12 months, okay. Cool. Anyone else? Any other questions? Again, I've got another question. In terms of the placements that you do, we're not talking about the Propel, but say just the standard placements through Workbridge. What support is there ongoing for that candidate once they've secured employment? Is there an ongoing relationship, or once they're placed and they've signed their employment contract, is it kind of like, you know, that's it, or is there ongoing support for a period of time?
So I could probably answer that one for you. So there is 12 months of support. So once somebody has secured employment, then we support them for a further 12 months. So that's a minimum of at least once a month contact to make sure everything's going okay, but it can be as much as once or twice a week. It really depends on what that person needs, and it's reviewed every 3 months.
Great, okay. Do you have any idea of kind of like after that 12 months? And are those roles, is there funding for those roles, or are they totally funded by the employer?
So unless it was through some sort of support through work and income that the employer engaged with, we don't have any financial support for that side.
Okay. Anything else? Have we got the transition team there?
I just have asked them if they have any.
Yeah. Mari, do your class have any questions? There's a few young people that are going to be heading out into the workforce shortly.
Hi, Sarah and David. We're going from Tapiro's Logan, so that's the name that's up there. And we've got Kaya, William, Tina, Ellie, Riley, Nico, Giovanni, Amy, and Roman in the room.
Awesome. Hi, everyone.
Just joining us. They've been doing another online thing at the moment. Do you guys have any questions or thoughts?
I have a question.
This is Fresno speaking.
Oh, hi,
Fresno. Hi. My question is, say I am successful in an internship and I'm not offered employment. Can I apply for another internship? Is there a limit on the number of internships or opportunities? Not so much internships, but opportunities with WorkBridge that I can apply for.
So for the internships, it's one internship. If I understand your question correctly, it's if you get an internship, you do well, and after 12 weeks, they go, we've really enjoyed this, but we can't fund this any further. Is that your question?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of two things could happen. It's possible that we could apply for additional funding from MSD. It's a case-by-case basis and depends on circumstance. So that would require the organisation offering the internship to agree and want that, but obviously if you've built a relationship over 12 weeks, it would be unlikely that they wouldn't want to work with you. So there is the option to apply for additional funding for up to 12 months. That doesn't cover all of the costs, though. The other option would be that perhaps then Propel could support you in looking for other employment further down the track. That's also just an option. So the answer to the question, if the internship finished and they didn't have a role for you, you couldn't get an additional internship.
Probably the recommended route would be to, so the internship program is quite separate from the employment program, and you, if you became unemployed, you would be eligible probably to go through a standard WorkBridge employment placement thing, and you'd certainly have a bit of work experience under your belt, which would make unemployment much easier to find.
So just to follow up on that question that Fresno had, so it doesn't actually matter where you are in your career. So say, for example, someone's got going back to study, they've never had an internship before, they can they've got their qualification, whether it's a bachelor's or a master's or a diploma or whatever, they can actually apply at any time as long as they reach that criteria, correct?
Correct. As long as they're in the last 2 years of study, it doesn't matter other than that, or have graduated in the last 12 months.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, if we can just go back to the Tamari, to your class, I think someone was about to ask a question, maybe Tina or someone.
Has somebody got a question, please, about WorkBridge and what you've been listening to? At this stage, it doesn't look like anyone's got any questions.
Okay, look, that's absolutely fine, and maybe it might be something that you guys can talk about in class after this at some stage. We will put the details for WorkBridge into the chat box so that they're available, and obviously if anyone has any questions, you know, you can come to me as a first point of call, and then I shall direct you onto the powers that be at WorkBridge.
I've got one question, sorry. Yes. Just because I know, and I'm sorry you missed the first part of the webinar because we were sort of just having to load Zoom again, so I just missed the introductions. Would you be able to just introduce who is speaking from WorkBridge again, and then just to catch up about who's in our local area, who's the closest WorkBridge office to us, and who might we contact there?
Great. So, Phil, I might throw that back to you. And so the Blends team are out in Manurewa, so that would be, really useful.
Yeah, okay. Kia ora. I'm Phil Hendry. I'm the CE, and I'm based down in Wellington. With me is Brianna Williams, who is based in the Windrush North in Whangarei. And she's part of the employment service, and Stu Guthrie, who is in the not so winterless Dunedin, who leads the mainstream internship program within a part of WorkBridge called Propel. In terms of your question about your closest office is going to be the South Auckland office that's currently out at the Ridges managed office space. I think that's out towards, it's actually out towards the airport. But if you pop onto our website, you can click down to the South Auckland team and follow up from there.
Cool. And I know in terms of WorkBridge, that you're not able to work with anybody that's still enrolled in school. So
that's
it's really
right.
Once you leave school, would there though be a possibility of perhaps you connecting us with the South Auckland branch or an Auckland branch where we could actually just go and visit, just to kind of, it might be more useful for our students just to kind of have a bit of a face-to-face to find out so they can help with their understanding of what WorkBridge does.
So I can certainly join the dots with Katie Hetherington, who is the regional service manager in that part of the Motu, who can arrange a conversation or a meeting with her team down in that part of the world.
That would be good. Perhaps Sarah could share my email.
Yeah, I will connect you both after this, and that would be great. Phil, if you could then connect Mari directly with Katie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, okay. I think this might be our last call for questions. It's been a really useful session. Thank you, Phil, Bree, and Stu. It's always great to know what you're doing, and I think there's some really positive steps happening. I think the combination of the graduate internship and then also the traditional work that you've been doing regionally and throughout the country in different sectors all really make a nice combination. So look, I think if we'll put some details in the chat. If anyone does have any questions after this, please do reach out to me directly. David, as usual, will put my email address into the chat box as well. Most of you do have it because that's how you've probably heard about this. We've got two more sessions for the year. So next month, September, we've got September the 9th, we've got the regional disability team who will be talking about things to do with disability. So they are part of MSD as well. Things to do with disability and particularly the blind person's benefit. And then the final session of the year will be in October, and it's going to be on the 14th of October. And we're going to be talking about just the different grants available through BLVNZ for people that are looking at studying or work. And we can probably touch on some of the other available as well through some of the other agencies. Say if you're looking for a computer, we wouldn't necessarily fund that, but we'll have a general kind of talk about funding avenues for you. So look, thank you very much everybody for making the time. Enjoy the rest of your day, stay warm, and look forward to hopefully seeing you on the 8th of September for the next webinar. Kia ora.
Got it.
Sorry, wrong one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.